This is a Channel Africa podcast. You can also get Channel Africa on satellite, PAS 10, DSTV Audio Bouquet 802, and OpenView Bouquet, Channel 628.
An investigation by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists has uncovered numerous suspicions of financial crimes in Southern Africa. The Swazi secrets implicate some of the biggest names in politics and business. For more on the report, we are joined on the line by one of the writers, Olivier Homi. Olivier, good afternoon and thank you for joining us on Africa in Business.
Thank you for having me.
Now, how long did it take to compile this report and who was involved in this report?
So this was coordinated by the ICIJ, as you said, and it's an investigation into 900,000 documents from the Eswatini Financial Intelligence Unit, the authority within the small kingdom in Southern Africa, in charge of fighting and investigating financial crime in that country. This was the work of several months of more than 30 journalists in 11 different countries, including the Africa Report, for which I wrote my investigative work, as well as Open Secrets in South Africa, Finance Uncovered in the UK, and many other partners.
And are you able to give us the names of some of those implicated?
So because this leak is from the Financial Intelligence Unit of Eswatini, what it gives us is insight into thousands of suspicious transactions in the last absolute monarchy of Africa. And those people implicated are politicians, ministers, MPs, royal advisors of Eswatini, and they are also politicians sometimes from abroad. The biggest name within the leak is Edgar Lungu, the former president of Zambia, who's alleged by Zambian authorities and by Eswatini authorities in documents leaked to us to have accumulated wealth in corrupt ways and then to have used some of that corruptly acquired money to acquire a plot of land on a luxury golf estate in Eswatini on which he apparently intended to build a mansion for himself.
Now, this is very interesting. We're just considering the population of Eswatini, it's less than 2 million people. And the poverty that has overrun the country in a way, how do we then ensure with this report, what is going to happen going forward with regards to, are there going to be criminal charges, against these individuals who have been identified, especially if you consider that Edgar Lungu has a crisis in his own country?
That's a very good question, and it's hard to say, because what our investigation reveals, beyond all of these suspicions of dodgy transactions involving top business people and politicians, is also the inability of authorities tasked with fighting financial crime of actually achieving that goal, not only in Eswatini, but also elsewhere in Southern and Eastern Africa. We have many documents showing that they struggle to understand and combat the financing of terrorism, for example, which is one of their key duties. Money laundering seems to virtually never lead to prosecution and even less to conviction. Tax evasion, same story. So the issue here is that we have actually in much of the region, including in Eswatini and including in South Africa for the past 20 years, financial intelligence units that are tasked with fighting this criminality, but that aren't actually given the tools and the political support to do so. They have tiny budgets. They have underqualified staff, and they also face constant political censorship of their investigative work. So it's hard to see how things change without actual proper support from the top of government.
And now what's the way forward with all these reports that have identified individuals in different parts of Southern Africa? I'm sure there are a lot more names that would be very familiar to all of us. What's next?
Well, in the case of Edgar Lungu, for example, what we find in the leak is that the authorities there were aware from May 2018 of these allegations against him, but only actually started acting upon these allegations and investigating them properly in late 2021. And that is after he left office. So perhaps this is simply a case of waiting for the authorities to have the wherewithal and the freedom to investigate the claims that we're revealing in order to then bring the prosecutions that that are warranted by these allegations.
And now, what are the people of with regard the people that have leaked the information to you to be able to, you know, do your investigative journalism, which I'm sure has unearthed a lot, and some will probably be shocked when it all comes out. But what are they saying? And in terms of safety issues, are they okay with in that regard?
I'm not aware of any safety issues as of yet. As you say, it's so important to keep whistleblowers, to keep the people at the origin of leaks anonymous and safe, and that's what we've sought to do. This leak was obtained by the ICIJ through Distributed Denial of Secrets, which is a non-profit devoted to publishing and archiving leaks of this nature, and at this point, that's all we can say about that.
Olivier, this is very interesting, and I guess we'll all be watching very closely as to exactly what happens going forward and how it pans out. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That podcast was courtesy of Channel Africa, the African perspective.